This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman filling in today for Mark Haney. Councilmember Charlie Winburn will be leaving City Hall in a few weeks. He served 8 years on council and could not seek re-election this year because of term limits. In total, he served about 16 years on council. He was first elected in 1993 and left a little early then, too, because of term limits. He was elected again in 2009. Councilmember Winburn joins Howard Wilkinson and me to talk about his time on council. Later in the hour, outgoing member Kevin Flynn will be here, too, for an interview. You can join our conversation. The number is 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. You'll also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7155. And before we get too far into this, I want to thank Mark Haney for allowing me to guest host. Howard and I are going to be firing the questions at Councilmember Winburn, and if we had three people in here, you might be a little intimidated.
Matter of fact, the more the better. Can I get to knock you out all? That's three. It's a three knockout.
We're still overmatched here.
That's right.
Well, we will do our best. Councilmember, thanks for being here.
Thank you, and I really appreciate being here, Jay and Howard.
Howard has known you far longer than I have, so I'm going to let him start because he's going to take us back to a time when you were actually a Democrat.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's really going back.
I just wanted to start because when I first knew you, first knew of you, you were a Democrat. You worked for Tom Lucan in his congressional office. You worked for the Celeste administration.
Yes.
And when the Celeste administration ended and George Voinovich, a Republican, was elected governor, wasn't very long after that that you also became a Republican.
Yes.
And some people thought that that was political opportunism. You were just looking at it and said, okay, well, I had a good job with the Celeste administration. Now I can, do the same with the Voinovich administration. What was going in through your mind at that time? What was it that made you wake up one morning and say, I am a Republican?
Yeah, first of all, Howard, I want to thank you and Jay for being here. Let me just get right to the point. Mm-hmm. By the way, my answer is always the same that I've told everybody. What happened during that period of time, I worked for Dick Celeste for 8 years, and then they had an office for me here in the city, in Cincinnati. And I believe the Enquirer wrote about it. And I was working with Dick Celeste.
I wrote about it, yes.
Yes. And the new administration came in. Guess what? They asked me to stay on. They wanted me to come to Columbus. So I stayed on with the Voinovich administration for about 6 months. And then I said, I'm leaving. But during that time, it was a major change. And I told my wife, I said, it's sad that we as black people, the majority of us, we are Democrats. That's shameful. Now, I have always been a conservative Democrat. I've been pro-life, pro-family, one man, one woman, all that at that time. And I said, won't you just stay as a Democrat and I'll become a Republican? I said, we don't need to put our eggs in all in one basket. And that's really how I actually became a Republican.
So it was actually a philosophical change.
Yes, but I even have no problem with, although it wasn't based on being an opportunist. See, people run around and talk about, being an opportunist is a bad thing. No, it isn't. Isn't that what we need to encourage our colleagues? Our kids, our students, those who come from foster home, be an opportunist, but don't hurt nobody in the process.
Right. You've done that, and you worked for Voinovich for a little while.
About 6 months.
Yeah. And then in 1993.
Yes, I decided. I said, let's run as a first-time candidate. And they told me at that time, Jay, you can't run. You're black. You got nappy-headed. You're ugly. You got buck teeth. You don't look like much. You're not going to win. You don't have no name recognition. And guess what?
Well, I know what you did have.
Yeah.
A big wad of money.
Well, I had to run on. But that was my first time ever raising that kind of money because when I worked for Tom Lucan, I raised him about $10,000. That was the highest I've ever raised, Jay and Howard, in a political race.
Yeah. Was there something that drove you in 1993, some issue, something you were concerned about to run for council?
Actually, it's a good question. Well, what it is I said, look, I'm helping everybody else get elected. Let me see if I can get elected. I got Dick Celeste elected. I helped Charlie Lucan at one time, helped Tom Lucan, Theodore Berry, and Penn Ziegler. My first campaign was when I was like 14 years old in a foster home and didn't even know that Penn Ziegler, the mayor of Lincoln Heights, was a Republican. That was my first campaign when I was 14 years old. And I've always liked politics.
Were you surprised when you won back in 93?
Actually, No, because I think I've laid the groundwork. I help people get elected. Now, I will say this. The Republican Party was shocked that I won. Tim Burks was shocked that I won.
Yeah.
But we knew if we had a vision and we had a plan and we raised the money, we could win even our first time.
You know, over those years, it's really become harder for Republicans to run in this city. But you've managed to run and run and run and do very well in council races,
yes.
At least.
Yes.
What was the secret to that?
I think the secret is being yourself. And those who know me, if I could just say this, Jay and Howard, and I really you don't know how much I appreciate this. It is really important that you be yourself. Even when I came up in those foster homes, being myself was very important. And when I went to school, the bullies didn't like me being myself. And they used to try to kick my butt. But I fought back. I never had an option about committing suicide. I said, oh, no, I love myself too much for that. So I've always been unique. I've always been who I am. And I think that's what has really helped me get elected in Cincinnati. I appeal to all kinds of people.
Yeah. Tell me about that, because some people believe that there are a lot of African-American voters in Cincinnati who over the years have kind of thought of, they assumed that you were a Democrat.
Yes.
And they voted for you because they thought you were a Democrat.
That's right. Now, what happened, that was tested when I ran against Cecil Thomas. I still got 35% of the African-American vote, which is huge. That means if I ever run for a county office or what have you, I'll do very well among African-Americans because I've been consistent. My ideology has been supportive of the community. I've been there for them on various issues of jobs and et cetera, et cetera. But that's where I had really got tested.
Okay, you just said the magic word. If I run for county office, do you have some plans down the road to
yes,
run?
Yes, I do. I have to be candid about it. But right now, for the next 2 or 3 years, I've got to spend a little more time with my wife. I've got a consulting business that I want to get off the ground. I'm working on starting a millennial church. I've been working on that for like last 6 months, targeting those between 22 and 35. So I've been working on that. So, yes, I do. I have it in my blood. I've been doing it since I was 14 years old, and it's there. And I have to be honest with the American people that, yes, I'm not going to go away. I will be around if God spare me and give me strength. And wisdom.
Is there an office that you're thinking about?
There's several offices that look pretty good. And I think things will be different. Our message will be much clearer. I'll be more concise. Like when Howard told me to get on the show, now you be real concise. Get to the point. You know, and that's good. That's good advice. I can learn from Howard Wilkinson, one of my favorite reporters.
I tried.
You do good.
Look. Yeah, but are you talking about like a county office, or are you talking about coming back to city council? Are you talking about something else?
I think there's a lot of opportunities here for a unique person like me, who's a crossover person, get along with a lot of people. 80% of Cincinnati pretty much love me. 20%, you could have those. It's okay, as long as I've got some people that really like what we're doing, our ideology, our philosophy, my savvy. I have my own uniqueness. I'm nobody else. Don't want to be anyone else. And if everybody can just learn how to be who you are and enjoy you, and the hell with everybody else, but love them in the process.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I was over there at city council a few weeks ago, and it was right after Chris Nelms passed away.
Yes.
Cincinnati school board member who was a pastor, who was a teacher.
A good friend of mine.
And a good friend of yours.
Sure.
And you talked about him.
Yes.
And the influence that he had on you.
Yes.
And that you said that he changed you from the person that you were in your first 8 years in office to this, you know, your most recent service. How did he change you?
Well, you know, it was something I was talking about, bullying, because I came up with, in those foster homes and people tried to bully me and all that. But I have always been one of those that I would fight back. I would have a delayed reaction. If I didn't get you on Monday, I got you on Wednesday. And then I would come back with a couple other guys and we'd beat the hell out of you. So that's why killing myself was never an option. So I had this little fight in me coming up in junior high school and high school. And what happened Chris Nahum saw that in me. He said, well, now, Winburn, now you got to know when to turn that off. Everybody is not trying to kick your butt. Everybody is not trying to hurt you. Everybody is not down on you. So he softened me by talking to me, instructing me, correcting me, said, you could say that a little bit better, Charles. That's too harsh. And if you notice what I've done, I think it's one of my defense mechanisms. In this last 8 years, I've always said, Your Eminence, Your Honor, Your Holiness, Your Greatness, because that was my way of softening myself to say, hey, I could be nice, I could be kind, even when folk wanted to kick my butt.
But Chris Nelms was sort of a pastor to
Coach.
The pastor.
Yes, actually, I helped ordain him during our period of time when he was with me for 8 or 9 years. So he really, I'm telling you, he was really a compassionate guy, mm-hmm. a loving guy.
Yeah.
And that's why I believe I'm that person today. I treat my wife much better. I'm more kinder. I'm more gentler. And those who know me, I'm easy to get along with, Jay. But if you mess with a bull, you go get his horns. And I may not get you on Monday, but I'm tearing your ass up. Oh, excuse me, I should say that on Thursday. I'm coming after you, but I won't bother you right then and there.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's good.
Let's talk about your relationship with Mayor Cranley. Back in 2013, there were probably quite a few Democrats' heads turned
yes.
when Mayor Cranley named you Budget and Finance Committee
yes.
chair, which
yeah.
by your what you always call it the powerful
yes.
Budget and
yes.
Finance Committee. But then I think it was an Inquirer article or a tweet or some article, you said the mayor essentially divorced you.
I think that was
yeah. a term you used, yeah. that the mayor well, divorced you
yeah.
over the park levy. Talk about that,
well,
the relationship.
First of all, let me tell you where I'm at currently with the mayor. I love the mayor. I just met with him yesterday. Actually, he's really a wonderful person. And we just iron sharpens iron. And that's why Chris Nahum's, I kind of reflect, Winburn, look, the election is over now. You don't have to cut nobody. You got to learn how to work with folks. So let me share something with you. I really appreciate Mayor John Cranley appointing me as budget chair. Because guess what? It gave me an experience that I didn't have. And I was able to now understand deals better, mega deals, minor deals, and the whole thing. Well, during that period of time, we actually got our political divorce doing the park levy. When I saw John going off talking about raising taxes, I kind of considered that political domestic violence. So I said, look, we're in a relationship. I can't go there with him, all that. So in a sense, he kind of distanced himself. He probably will deny it. But I kind of felt that he was disappointed that Charlie Winburn didn't stand with him and support him.
Do you feel like you did anything on city council and that was designed at aiding Yvette Simpson in her run against him?
Oh, I'm pretty sure. Now, can I – this is one time I could just be, we'll say, 100% transparent.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this race because, you know what? I kind of felt that I was running, and I just had fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I say so? I just really had fun antagonizing Simpson and the mayor because I just felt that this was my time to say, look, I'm on my way out. I think I fought a good fight. I've helped with the balance of budget, the pension. We've done jobs. We've done a wonderful thing. I said, look, I'm going to have me some real fun all the way out. So it was really more fun than anything. It was nothing cloak and dagger trying to hurt anyone.
We are talking today with outgoing City Council member Charlie Winburn about his time at City Hall. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Jay Hanselman filling in today for Mark Haney. Howard Wilkinson is joining me in the studio today as well. Outgoing City Council member Charlie Winburn is our guest for a few more minutes. You can join the conversation. Our phone number is 513-419-7100. Or email us at talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Again, 513-419-7100. We started to talk about your relationship with the mayor before the break.
Sure.
Howard asked you about your role in the mayor's race. But how could I not look at some of your comments and some of your actions before the election and think that you weren't supporting Yvette Simpson for mayor?
Well, you know, I think that's the joy of having fun in politics. Again, can I go back to a little history? I'm not a conformist. See, I think people have—
Get out of here.
Yeah, they have—
No, they have really underestimated
me over the years. Because I'm nice, sometimes people take my niceness for weakness and my niceness for, he's a yes man, my niceness, he's an Uncle Tom. That is not me. When I was a little boy at 7, 8, 9, I had my own uniqueness, and I'm not going to allow whether it was John Cranley or Yvette Simpson or you or anybody else, to frame my own ideology. I get to think for myself. I don't have to conform to someone's ideology and philosophy on how things are done. As long as you don't do anything illegal, moral, and ethical, and you treat people with love, wisdom, and dignity, and be humble before your God, I think that's all is important. And I think if more people could be who they are and stop being afraid, because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind.
Yeah. And but still, you're right in the middle of a campaign and you're talking about issues like the children's hospital expansion. And Yvette Simpson came up with her last minute motion and you were like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Why don't we talk about that?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But it almost sounded like you were fueling the fire.
Well, yeah, I was having fun. But at the same time, I think iron sharpens iron is really interesting. All the children's hospital, I could have went either way. And one of my reasons was it was not to support Yvette Simpson. Let me make that clear right now. It was never to support Yvette Simpson. And guess what, Jay and Howard? We never had a conversation about it. Yeah. I spent a little time in the community. Mine was a protest vote because Solid 10, if you really look at my voting record on council, I have 100% pro-business vote. This was probably the first time that I did not go with the pro-business vote. It was a protest vote to say to the hospital, hey, I'm going to be gone soon. Y'all need to work together with the community and have more maximum input. So I can understand. See, traditionally, I don't owe anybody anything.
But you said recently that you now believe that you should have voted for her.
No, it's not that I should have voted. I could have voted. And I even stated in my speech, it was a paradox today. On one end, I want to vote yes. On the other end, I wanted to vote no. But I wanted to send a message to the Children's Hospital. Hey, y'all work with these people. Y'all coexist and continue to work and get maximum participation. It had nothing to do with Yvette Simpson.
Okay, so maximum participation and maximum citizens' sure. participation on the children's vote.
Yeah.
But wasn't that lacking in the FC Cincinnati vote?
Yeah, but I think it's a judgment call, just like it was my personal judgment, based on talking with actually direct citizens going to meetings in Avondale. It was a little different than FCC. And that's why I felt, oh, by the way, when I tweeted out that I was going to have this meeting at City Hall, that everybody could come and speak and have a right to self-determination. Listen to this. I didn't know what that number meant. Over 14,000 people saw that tweet. 14,000. And I asked PG the other day, what does that mean? And Chris Smitherman, they said, oh, that's huge. If you had 14,000 people, if you hit that little button on tweeting, because what I wanted to do was, because I was chair then, I was not chair of that hospital thing. I would have handled it totally different.
Well, I don't want to completely run out of time. There's a couple things I know that you like to talk about. You like to talk about Boxgate and MSD.
Yes.
Do you think that the city administration was trying to frame with Boxgate?
Yes, I think.
Why?
I think they were trying to frame me because they looked at my popularity in the city of Cincinnati. And if you poll me in the city, I do very, and matter of fact, in the county, I do much better among white Republicans and independents. But they thought that I was a threat to John Cranley. So what do? You frame someone. And what better person to frame is Charlie Winburn, because we knock him out. We knock Mark Mallory out because they were all a part of the MSD thing. We knock Tillery out. They came back with the closing, the help gap. So you continue to knock these individuals out who you think that could be your possible a challenge. But they did not know that Yvette Simpson was as strong as she was. Nobody even knew that. I was shocked.
Are you saying that John Cranley was the person who was directing this?
John says he had no direct involvement in that. However, though, he was aware of the Boxgate situation, and he said he didn't want to be a part of that. But it was so asinine on the Boxgate thing that it was so ridiculous. But guess what happened? My 10, 11, 12-year-old fight spirit got involved again because I saw that as bullying me. I really believe the people who tried to frame me with Boxgate, some at the Enquirer and others, I really believe they wanted to intimidate me and bully me. But guess what I did? I got back in my 10, 11, 14-year-old attitude. I'm going to fight you to the finish line. And I fought and I will continue to fight. Never stoop to violence and hatred. You fight Winburn, I'm going to fight you. I may not get you on Monday, but on Friday, you better get ready. I
thought it was Wednesday.
Well, it went. I moved it up a little bit because I want you to, just in case if Jay starts acting up, I want him to.
On those boxes, though, yes. Was that not a strange thing to do to have put those things down?
Yeah, there? I think our employee, first of all, you got to remember, we had a wonderful employee. Matter of fact, she's got a job.
She's great.
She's a great employee. If she had listened to me and Jay, my chief of staff, mm-hmm. we have a policy. Don't do anything.
Jake is your chief of staff.
Jake, that's right. Jake. Not Jake. That's
not
right.
Jay.
But that's right. But Jake, thank you for reminding me. But if she had listened, we have a policy. Don't do anything out of the ordinary. So we didn't know. And let me share something. Let me give the other side the benefit of the situation. Somebody bringing boxes downstairs, putting them in a room could be very suspicious. I understand that. But here's what we discovered in the research is that she had permission to do so. And by the way, we did discover, because I had told Sharon Coolidge, Jan Horton, we're going to get at the root of it. I'll find you, Howard. If you mess with me, I will find you, Jay. I will come and find you.
Are you
and I will get you when the time comes. But listen to this. We discovered.
We're not hard to find.
I know. But we discovered that one of the janitors didn't like, they didn't really like Roz. And I didn't know Roz in this.
And that's the employee who put the boxes down.
Roz is the employee. And I didn't know they didn't get along. So this was all this stuff was involved. And I think when it got to the city solicitor's office, everybody panicked. And then think about it for a moment. Why would you want to send something to the FBI? Boxes. And the police department looked at it and they said, oh, my God, we don't have nothing to do with it. We don't see nothing that would merit FBI. And then it went to attorney general. So all that. But guess what? I appreciate that experience. It has made me stronger. It has made me more concise. It has made me a better person, and it lets me know that I have not got rid of the fight that's in me when I was being bullied when I was 14, 15, 16 years old.
Before we completely run out of time here, you are known for your phrases, and I've made a list as best I can. You've actually used a couple of them today. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes, that's biblical.
The Muhammad Ali shuffle.
Yeah, that's one.
Pin their ears back.
Oh, yes. I got that actually from Charlie Lucan in the early, when he was on council. He used to use it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. We have niceties and complexities.
Yeah, that's a good one. I got that from a late professor at the University of Cincinnati.
Rise to the occasion.
Rise to the occasion.
Illegal, immoral, unethical.
I live by that.
Blue Ribbon Commission.
Yeah, that's one. Yeah.
A white paper.
Yeah, white paper. Oh, matter of fact, I had two people to get off my committee when I first got elected with Mallory, and because I told everybody they had to present a white paper, they resigned off. I believe it was Quit Living and somebody else. I don't know who it was.
And we have Box Gate or Fill in the Blank Gate. You've had
Salt Gate. MSD Gate.
And What Have You Done For Me Lately?
Yeah, What Have You Done For Me Lately?
And the last one, we're going to let him do this one.
And he has demonstrated leadership after leadership.
Thank you for your leadership.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very kindly.
And then there was the one I hung on him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That I'm the greatest man in show business.
Hardest working man.
Oh, by the way, you know, I still got that article. Hardest man. And you know, with James Brown, I actually still have that article.
Is that right?
I still have that article.
That's more than I can say.
Yeah, that's right.
We know that you said that politics is probably not out. What are you going to do to keep yourself busy in the meantime?
Oh, I'm going to continue what I've always done. I'm going to do with the church. I'm going to spend time with my wife. I'm working on a millennial church. I'm going to do some consulting work. I'm going to help businesses. So nothing has really changed. And even I was doing this before I got elected to city council. So people are wondering, what is he going to do? I'm going to do what I've always done. I'm going to be Charlie Winburn.
Well, it has been our pleasure. Thank you, sir.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
All. God bless you.
Our guest is outgoing Councilmember Charlie Winburn. Coming up next, City Councilmember Kevin Flynn is going to join Howard and me for an interview. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.